It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show that you're listening to right here on 97.1 FM Talk. And you had some problems over there, baby? Let me help you out.
I'm all good. Thank you very much.
You got it. All right. Before we get started here, the Los Angeles Angels have lost to the Boston Red Sox. So the Boston Red Sox will now continue. And how deep is that team where they give up Manny and still go to the American League Championship Series? Oh, boy. Unbelievable. Manny Ramirez and still go to the ACLS. All right. ALCS. Sorry. All right. We're going to do the news with Gina. But first, I got to tell you, Bill Whittle is here. Bill, nice to see you, sir.
It's great to be here.
And he is an author. He has written a book called Silent America. And you can also check out his blog and his... all his web pages, ejectejecteject.com, right?
That's it.
All right. And also with Pajamas TV or Pajamas Media?
It's Pajamas TV. They are sort of an online television thing now with sort of conservative commentary.
Look at you.
Hey.
All right, we'll be able to break down the entire election, who's at fault when it comes to, the economy, where the election's going. Obama's up by 800 points here in California. And the two reasons why I might vote for Barack Obama after the news. Look at that. All right. But first, ladies and gentlemen, every single night at 9 o'clock, we like to do this. It's about 5 after 9 here. And it is the news with somebody I like to call Gina Grad, everybody. Look at this. Hey, Randy, play it in from in there. It's not firing in here for some reason. All right. Oh, why is this happening to me? Why me?
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom. Tina, gonna surrender. Tina, I'm over. Here's Gina Grad with the news.
All right, Gina, what's going on with that news in
Tim,
there, man?
We couldn't have more news.
Is that right?
Well, in sports news, leading the news tonight, the Dodgers beat the Cubs 3-1 on Saturday at Dodger Stadium.
Congratulations.
Also known as the Ravine, if I'm not mistaken.
Chavez Ravine.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Making it a complete sweep for the LA team. New Dodger Manny Ramirez was incredibly pleased with himself and his fellow teammates, and we have some audio of him.
All right, here's Manny Ramirez.
You got to play the same baseball game and go out there, play hard, and you know, we got a bunch of great guys that, you know, we always stay positive, and that's why we're here.
What do you say to Red Sox fans right now?
Nothing. I don't got to say nothing. I'm in LA.
All right. Thank God that Manny is here. And the Los Angeles Dodgers kicking ass, man. Going to the National League Championship Series.
Wow.
Now, if they win four games, they go on to the World Series.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah.
I like that guy, though. I like he's here now. He's focused on being here. I think that's nice.
Yeah.
Nice loyalty.
I will give you
$20
if you can name the four teams that are left.
Left where?
In the playoffs.
For the American
League? Baseball. There's two in the National League and two in the American League.
Yeah, okay. Hold on.
Here
Let me
we
just
go.
Get...
All right. And
watch your friend. I'm not looking at him.
Okay. Now, see, this. I did this as a test to see if last week this happened when you guys were talking about baseball teams.
Okay.
Randy cost me $20 when it comes to when it came to baseball teams.
I don't.
You don't know
I don't
what I'm
understand.
Talking about? Can you take your headphones off and answer that question? All right. Now I'll ask you. Here, come here. We have headphones.
You can have them.
Okay.
I'm not saying I know the answer to this.
All right. Then let me ask you the question I asked you last week.
Okay.
See if you still remember that one.
Okay, but can I just say this? Just because... Oh, wait. I have to answer the last one again?
Well, how about all the baseball teams in California?
Okay.
And the reason why I ask this is because Gina Grad's father is a sportscaster. And I'm sure he's very proud of your knowledge.
Well, can I just write them real fast? Hold on.
Yeah. All right. The four or five or six, how many are there?
Hey, now. Don't get in my head. Hold on.
The baseball teams in California. Major League Baseball teams.
I think I'm missing one, because I think they might be a football team.
What team is that?
There's five. Hold on.
The Seahawks?
No, Tim. Don't look.
All right.
Hold on.
The five baseball teams in California.
Wait,
one in San Diego, two in L.A.
Yeah.
And two in Northern L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
Northern
yeah.
California.
Hold on.
What do you got so far?
I got the Dodgers, the Angels, and the Giants.
Those are three. Now you need Oakland and San Diego.
The A's.
Yeah.
And the, or Athletics, if you prefer.
All right.
And,
one last team.
Oh. I think I'm going to get this one.
And by the way, I can't believe that you looked at me straight in the eye and lied last week.
Hold on. Hold on. Just hold on. Padres.
There you go. All right. I'm adding you to the group. I'm adding you to the group of the of people who will look me in the face and lie to me at this station.
Tim, I just got him.
I know, but last week you didn't. Last week, Randy Wang told you the answer.
Get out of here.
Yes, I saw him doing that today.
Please.
All right. The four teams that are left are Tampa Bay.
Wait.
And the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And then the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
And who are they going to play?
They are going to play the, and I don't mean my headphones.
It looks like you just used them.
No, I didn't. The Dodgers are going to play the... Hold on. It's coming to me. Well, it's not the Cubs.
Right.
There's nothing on nothing on my sleeve, Tim. Nothing in my hat.
All right, people are going to die. The Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, okay. The Phillies.
All right, Gina, what else is going on in the news?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oy. Well, in local news, six people, this is absolutely terrible. I'm sure you saw this on the news today. Six people were found dead today at a home in Porter Ranch when they were believed to be a family who was shot to death in an apparent murder-suicide. A man who was despondent over financial woes apparently shot and killed his wife, his three sons, and his mother-in-law before turning the gun on himself. The bodies were discovered at 20644 Como Lane, which is a gated community, at about 7:15 this morning. Officers were asked to stop by the residence by a friend of the family's mother when she didn't stop by the neighbor's home as expected. So things were a little off and she called the police.
And what time they discover this family?
7:15.
If I wiped out my whole family, they wouldn't be discovered for days.
Why is that?
Nah, nobody cares. Nobody'd stop by.
Really?
Yeah. I think if I wiped my family out like Friday night, I don't think by Monday at 8 o'clock if I didn't show up here, somebody may knock on the door.
But that's it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I live like a really, sort of like a secluded
existence. Well, that would go along with your whole fear of groups.
I like it. I like just, me and my guns.
Oh, God. One man militia.
All right, Gina, what else is going on with that news?
Well, Orenthal James Simpson, who went from American sports idol to known criminal, was found guilty on Friday of robbing two sports memorabilia dealers at gunpoint in a Las Vegas hotel room. Oy. And now...
I can easily say...
Yeah. And now 61-year-old Simpson is looking at 5 years to life in prison. Simpson was immediately taken into custody after the verdict was read, and OJ and his attorney, Yale Gallanter, both felt this was an unfair verdict. Here we have a clip of Simpson's lawyer pleading on behalf of OJ.
I thought that his actions in that hotel room were not bright. I told the jury that. but I didn't think they were criminal, and I still don't.
Yeah, well, guess what? Everybody else does.
You're outvoted there,
yeah,
Mr. Gallanter.
He's going to a jail. Yeah. I hate to say this because I'm going to get a ton of email. I sort of feel bad for OJ.
Yeah?
I really do.
You don't keep
your house hunting.
I know.
You don't think he keeps putting his hand in the same fire?
I know, but I don't know what it is about me. I feel bad for this dude.
Wow.
Not that he's a victim, but, that nobody in his life got a hold of this guy and said, hey, listen.
You think he can't catch a break, too? I think he's spent all of his nine lives already, if I'm not mistaken.
I know, and he should have stopped. I mean, you know the old saying, when you get away with something, it's like, wow, that guy got away with murder.
Yeah.
Right? Well, he did that twice. He got away with two murders, and yet he's still with the, busting the hotel rooms with guns and
blazing.
Oh, man.
It's like getting Al Capone on tax evasion, you know?
I guess so. I think OJ suffered through depression. I think if he had taken more antidepressants, 20 years ago, that he wouldn't have killed anybody. And
we should have Dr. Reef in for this.
Yes, more, antidepressants. And that's my whole theory. It's also on Iraq and Iran. Instead of bombs, if you just gave everybody a prescription for antidepressants over there and a window air conditioner, because I heard it's hotter than F over there, that might keep a lot of guys on the ground instead of in planes and flying into buildings. I got answers for a lot of things around this planet.
Conway 08.
Yes. I think I could win. Oh. All right, anything else going on in the news there, Gina?
Yes, well, in world news, all telephone calls, emails, and text messages in Britain will be monitored under new government snooping plans now.
Perfect.
Yes. A $25 billion identity database at the Spy Center could even log every website visited by user nations wide. Hundreds of bugging probes will be installed in the phone system and computer networks to monitor communications traffic, and the Spy Center has already been handed $2 billion of taxpayers' cash to begin developing the database. So, you know, enjoy that. So, you know, apparently, I don't know if the people are for it, but they're meeting, you know, they have to hand their money over for it. $2 billion they've given so far in taxes.
Now, what are they? They're going to monitor every phone call?
Phone call, text message, everything.
Who's going to do
emails,
that?
Emails.
Who's there? I mean,
them.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not sure for that. All right. Anything else going on in the news there, Gino?
Yes. Well, finally, in Dolly news.
Join CBS Radio and...
There you go. Though many are hating on the vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin, right now, the queen of country music, Dolly Parton, had nothing but kind things to say about the Republican running mate. And here we have a clip of Dolly explaining all of the things she and Sarah Palin have in common.
Which are...
I can relate to Sarah Palin. I always say we're very much alike. Both small town girls, both Pentecostal, and we both carry an AK-47.
I mean, even still, I love her.
All right. That's pretty funny.
She's a legend.
All right. Anything else in the news there, Gina?
That's what's going on.
The news with Gina Grad, everybody. Cue that music.
Have a little off night, huh?
Gina.
The news with Gina Grad.
Never seen anything more motherly than her nipples make me want to drink her.
Is this song about a dog?
Give us 8.5 minutes and we'll fill it with words.
All right. Gina Grad, everybody in the news. All right, we'd like to turn our focus now to our guest in studio here. I met this man about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, and found he's an awfully bright guy who, enlightened me to a lot of things going on politically here in the United States of America. So we thought we'd bring him in and see what's going on with this here election. His name is Bill Whittle. Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm doing just great, Tim. It's
excellent. Nice to see you, man. Now, if you want to check out his book, it's Silent America. What is Silent America about?
Well, first of all, before we get started, I want to say if we just had some paints and some cheeses, we'd have a real party here. Listen to that on the way over. That was
Gina
experience.
Loves guys who, don't
paints
take her out for a
and
drink.
Just cheeses.
Yeah, we'll go painting.
Yeah,
and
we'll
and
sit out in the yard. We'll frolic.
Oh, bubble.
Silent America got the name because it's just my belief that when I started writing these essays, it made up Silent America. Got lots and lots and lots of emails from people who are saying, you're really speaking for me in a way that, you know, no one else really does. You know, there's so much of the country out there that is not represented by either Hollywood or the media or the talking heads, or, you know, they're people who are like the parents of our troops over there, and they don't think our troops are the way Hollywood portrays them, as psychopaths or rubes or
right.
dopes or hicks or broken losers. And so as these emails continue to come in from people saying, you finally gave me a little ammunition for the water cooler on Monday morning.
Well, but don't you think that in your dealings and your travels around the United States, don't you think that about 90% of the people who live in this country support the troops without question?
I think that's pretty close to it. That leads into kind of an interesting discussion because one of the reasons I think that the intellectual elite despises the troops so much is it's an entirely different ethic. You know, there's sort of a rhetorical skill set, and then there's a warrior skill set. And
right.
these two things are kind of at odds with each other, and they have entirely different values, and they prize entirely different things.
So you think that the people in Hollywood, either it's a left brain, right brain then?
I wouldn't go so far as to say left brain, right brain. There's an association with a certain set of values. All right. I think it's probably fair to say that for people like Hollywood celebrities, just to take a kind of a cliched example.
Right.
I think it's fair to say that these people believe that the world could be understood if we would just talk to one another, and that all of the problems that we face in the world as America are due to a fact that we don't understand other cultures and we just go smashing our way through the China shop. And if we would just step back and stop being so aggressive and listen to what they had to say and talk about things, we'd be able to come to an agreement and we'd be largely at peace for the rest of time. So,
right. Well, you know, I think that where they get that from is that's the civilized way to deal with your problems here in this country.
Precisely. And it works.
I mean, if you have a problem with a neighbor, you don't drop a bomb on his
head.
No,
certainly not. And the tragic thing about this is it works really well when you're dealing with civilized people. And you know, I've said many times I would love it if the world was constructed in such a way as people at a liberal cocktail party seem to think it is. But the fact is,
it's not.
It's never has been. It never has been. And honestly, Tim, I'm an optimist about people. I just like people, and I certainly love this country. And
right.
I have bright hopes for the future of this country and for the human race. But we, not only will we never see a world where people behave that way, but they won't be people anymore. I mean, the aggressive instincts that got us to where we are today, all of these things are wired in us biologically. All of these, you know, all of this stuff is built into us to get us to survive, and it's not going to go away. It never has.
Right. Well, I heard recently, I was reading something on the internet, and I heard that we're all wired where we disagree with one another most of the time, so we survive. If we all were wired where we all agreed with each other, we'd implode as a society.
That's an interesting take on things. I'm not sure if I get completely where that comes from, but there is one
guy. Randy made that up while he was high the other night.
Is that right? It sounds like one of those things that sound a lot better the night before than when you finally sober up the next day.
It sounded also like he was on the toilet when
you were
talking to
him. Yeah, probably got it from the bathroom reader, you know.
I sit there with my laptop while I'm sitting on the can. And that's when I
this guy's going to go out like Elvis. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich, peanut butter and banana sandwich, and he's done.
Let me tell you something, pal. There's worse ways to leave the earth. You know, there really are worse ways to leave the earth.
All right. Now, I have a, and I'd like to talk to you in depth about this, because I have a couple of theories here.
Mm-hmm.
I think the United States, because the Republicans and the Democrats are moving away from each other. When I grew up, you know, if you're a Republican or Democrat, whatever you were an American first.
You bet. And let me just jump in and say
sure.
the greatest thing that I would... My parents did a lot for me, but one of the best things they ever did for me was raise me in such a way that I didn't know if my dad was a Republican or Democrat till I was 17.
Yeah.
I just had no idea what it was. I had no idea what it meant. I was playing Little League Baseball, and I was riding my bike, and I just wasn't concerned about that stuff.
Yeah, I'm the same way. My dad never talked about politics, and I don't even think he voted. But my mom was a huge Republican, but I didn't know that until I was in college. And she, you know, said she was a big fan of Ronald Reagan, and I said, what? You know, I couldn't believe it. Because, see, back when I was younger, I was a big fan of Jimmy Carter. And I thought he got the short end of the stick with all the hostages and everything. And I was too stupid and too young to realize that we're sitting in line for a gasoline for 2 hours, and that may have been Jimmy Carter's fault. I never associated those two.
I'm right with you, brother. Yeah. I graduated high school in 77. He was elected in 76, end of 76.
I was depressed when Reagan was elected.
So was I in 1980. I was I'd only not done much acting, but I've been, you know, a writer and film director and a bunch of other things getting
right
here. And in 1980, I was on the night of the election, I was on stage in one of the only plays, like I think I've been in two plays in my life. And just before we went on, we were going to do the show and then go and get the election results afterwards. But
right,
just before we went on, somebody said, it's over, because it was so quick. You know, it was such a landslide.
Oh, right, yeah.
They said, it's over. Reagan's won, and the actresses are crying. He's going to start a nuclear war. We probably won't survive the end of the show. You know, there will probably disappear in a right white flash between second and third acts. And even then, and when I was a lot more liberal as a kid, you know, I thought that was laying it on pretty thick.
Right. And there's a lot of misinformation out there still. I mean, I don't think the internet has helped. I think it's actually hurt it.
Yeah, the internet.
You know, with Sarah Palin now, you know, the rumor is that if you were, you know, raped in the small town in Alaska where she was mayor, that she made you pay for a rape kit.
Yeah, that's all completely debunked, of course. But,
yeah, it's all BS, but we had a caller call us up last night and was convinced that was true.
It doesn't matter. You tell the same lie often enough, and sooner or later it becomes tainted, and people believe it. But you know what's even worse than that, Tim, is that when you tell a story that's not true enough and you color that information, even people who know it's not true still feel an emotional reaction to it. I was discussing with this friend of mine the other day. You'll hear the same story so many times, so many of these things that are just a lie, or let's be generous, call it spin anyway, right?
Right.
And so you hear information and you know in your head, you know it's false, but it still hits you like it's true, you know?
Right.
It gets that emotional reaction out of you, and it's kind of worrisome.
Well, psychologically, and again, Bill Whittle is with us, ejectejectejectejectejectject.com. He's written Silent America, and he also works for Pajamas TV, right?
Right.
All right. But if I had a doctor friend of mine, Dr. Stephen Lamb, and I had asked him why these companies go on the internet and they go on TV to promote their own pharmaceuticals. And I said, why do they do that? Because when you go to the doctor's office, the doctor will say, you know, take this or take that. And he says, I'll tell you why they do it. And it works in a very good way. If a person goes in to see their doctor and says, I'm having problems with my allergies, I'd like to be on Claritin. They already know about the medication.
Mm-hmm.
He said it works 70% better if the person who is about to take it thinks it's going to work great.
So,
and that's what the commercials do, is they sell these people on the medication, and it turns out 70% of the time it works better for them.
So it comes packaged with its own placebo effect at no additional charge.
That's exactly
that's
right.
That's astonishing.
Yeah,
I'd never heard
exactly
that before.
Exactly right.
Wow.
But now with this election going on, obviously in California, Obama is going to win maybe in a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like right now he's up by, you know, 6 to 9 points, you know, nationwide.
Yeah, it's pretty grim.
And McCain has pulled out of Michigan, which is not a good sign.
It didn't make the Michigan people very happy. And, you know, I know Sarah Palin tends to split people right down the middle in terms of you like her or you don't like her. But I like her a lot. And the thing I like the most about her in the entire time I've seen her, I liked her at the RNC speech and I liked her in the debate and stuff. But the thing I like most about Sarah Palin was she did an interview the day after the debate and they were talking about her performance and stuff. And the interviewer asked her, said, how do you feel about the McCain-Palin camp pulling out of Michigan? And she said, do we have to? can't I go in there and campaign a little harder? And, you know, there's that great line from Aliens. It's one of my favorite movie of all time. That all-time favorite movie is Aliens. And there's that great line when they're talking about the little girl who survived, you know, before the Marines come and rescue the base. And this little girl's been surviving underneath this, you know, rubble pile for 3 weeks surrounded by aliens.
Right.
And Bill Paxton has one of my favorite lines of all time. He's like, well, why don't you put her in charge, man? And that's how I'm feeling right about Palin. You know, if she wants to get out there and fight this fight, then put her on the top of the ticket.
Well, here are two reasons. Again, Bill Whittle is with us, ejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectej the weekend. And we talked about it earlier on the show. But if Obama's president, then obviously they have the White House, the Congress, and the Senate, and they can do whatever they want. That's exactly what's been happening in all of the major cities in the United States that are complete failures.
Mm-hmm.
A Democratic Assembly, a city council, and a mayor. And you had told me a statistic that I guess the 10 worst cities or 10 of the cities that really don't work are because they've had a Democratic mayor, assembly, and city council for so long?
For 50 years or something. I saw this statistic online, and so it must be true. But seriously, it does look like if you look at the worst cities in America in terms of how they're managed, their quality of life, all the little things, garbage pickup, all that stuff.
Right.
Most of these towns haven't had a Republican mayor since the 40s or the 20s.
But see, it's so obvious, and again, maybe we'll take some calls on this, but I think it couldn't be more obvious that the city of Los Angeles needs some help. And I'll tell you why, and you can notice it simply if you get in your car and drive. If you drive south on the 5 freeway, mm-hmm. right? If you get past the 605 freeway, it's three lanes. Only three cars at one time can go south.
It's horrible.
On the 5 freeway until you get to the 91 freeway and it turns into Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up to, I think it's 75 lanes going each way. If I'm not mistaken.
You
I think
land
it
may, an
maybe,
airplane
I, maybe
sideways
I didn't count.
On the, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
And it opens up like, and all of a sudden traffic is gone. The graffiti problem starts in Los Angeles, and yeah. right at the border, it stops. But you know what? If you go the other way, it works the same way as well. If you go to Valencia, if you go to Thousand Oaks,
yep.
you go to Ventura,
just
once you leave Los Angeles,
yep.
and also in Orange County went completely broke, I believe, in 1986,
mm-hmm.
Where they had to declare bankruptcy. And yet they fought back. It's a very conservative part of California, if people don't know that. But they fought back, rebuilt their whole structure, the whole freeway system. And Los Angeles County and Los Angeles City is still trying to fix the 405 between Sunset and the and basically the airport between LAX and Sunset.
What is it, 5 miles?
Since I was a child, they've been working on that thing.
And instruct your children, because they won't live to see the end of it either, so perhaps your grandchildren might get a look at it someday.
Yeah. But it truly is amazing how slow things work in this city and in this county, and how people just accept that.
But let me tell you about that Democrat situation, and I don't want to be accused of being too partisan about it, but... let me talk about New York, and I'm qualified to talk about New York because I've never really lived there, and I visit there every now and then, right?
Right.
So I don't know jack about New York, but I can tell you this. My dad was a hotel manager in New York and started in New York and ended his career in New York at the Taft. I visited him in 1979, and we were told, you know, you do not cross this street. You do not go across the street at nighttime, because you go into Times Square at nighttime in 1979.
It was over.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You really just felt this, you know, you just felt preyed upon, pursued, and you'd go down the street and guys are putting porno, live sex show flyers into the hands of little kids. I mean, it was just awful, awful. Drug addicts and hookers everywhere. And then I went back and did some work after Giuliani came in, and I'm here to tell you, Times Square looks like Riverwalk at Universal Studios, or it looks like Main Street USA in Disneyland.
Yeah, City Walk.
It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. I look around, I can't recognize the place, but I've walked out of buildings there working, editing in Viacom building, and I've walked out into Times Square at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I felt as safe as can be.
Yeah, well, New York City has, I believe, 35,000 cops. And in Los Angeles, LAPD, I think there are 11 or 12,000.
Well, one of the things that I think is so interesting about looking at how that worked, right, is I think Braxton's responsible for this, but it's the broken window idea. And this man really understands human nature, because what he said, what Giuliani's police chief said, was that if you have broken windows and graffiti on the walls, that is an indication to everyone that there's no law here. That the law is simply not enforced here.
Right.
And everybody told him, you'll never get the murder rate down, you'll never get the robbery rate down. And what he basically said was, no, we have to enforce the small things, public urination, smoking dope out in the middle of the street, that kind of thing.
Right.
And what we have to do is we have to put cops on the beat who walk the streets, who know the neighborhood, know the people, build those relationships. That's exactly why the surge works in Iraq, by the way.
Right.
We got the guys out of the patrol cars, so to speak, and got them out there dealing with the people and building those relationships. But what he basically said was, once we get to a point where people know they can't smash the windows anymore and everything looks like it works, then crime it's just not tolerated there.
Yeah.
It really does come down to the small things.
I remember being in New York City with, I believe I was there with, was Whitman there? I think it was... I think it was Steckler. We were in New York, and this guy had stolen a pretzel from a street vendor, right? And the cop was standing 3 feet away and grabbed him, and said, "Did you just steal a pretzel from this guy?" He says, "No." And he reached in his pocket and pulled it out, and said, "You just stole this thing." He says, "Now I'm going to reach in your pocket for the $1.25." Or you're going to jail. Which is it? And he reaches into the guy's pocket, pulls out $1.25, gives it to the vendor, takes the kid and says, "Now get out of here and don't let me catch you doing that again." In Los Angeles, first of all, the cop, if he grabbed the guy and did anything like that, the ACLU would have sued him.
You bet.
The commission would have gotten all over the cop for that. So the cops in Los Angeles have their hands tied. Where in almost every other city, they can solve problems on their own, where they don't have to jam these courts with all the small problems.
Yeah, and I don't know, frankly, enough about the LAPD to talk intelligently about it at all, so I won't really get into that. But I will say that the thing you just described with that policeman in New York, I mean, is there a better example of justice than that? He didn't arrest the kid. He didn't ruin the kid's life. He taught him a lesson and showed him a little leniency and got him on the ball now. I don't know what happened after that with the kid or anything, but that kind of common sense justice, that kind of common sense anything, Tim, is flying away fast. And that's something to be genuinely concerned about, because when you take common sense away from people and you replace them with standards, with legal standards, then everything gets pushed to the wall. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's no longer any ability to judge what's a serious offense, what's not a serious offense. Everything goes directly to the regulations, and no one's responsible. And it's a mess.
Okay, we're going to take some questions here from the audience. Again, Bill Whittle is with us. He wrote Eject, Eject, Eject. I'm sorry, his website is ejecteject.com. And his book is Silent America. If you hate liberals, you hate conservatives, perhaps you love liberals, you love conservatives, you hate Obama, you hate McCain, You have an opinion of what's going on with Proposition 8 here in California. Anything political, we'll tackle it with Bill Whittle here, and he'll have the answer for you, or at least have a good argument for you. All right, so if you're constantly at work and you get cornered into these arguments on political stuff, or you want to know what's true and what's not true, like Sarah Palin charging, you know, people, girls have been raped, a rape kit charge. Some of the lies that have been going around. Anything political. Again, we are 1 month away. I think it's 1 month from tomorrow. Isn't that right?
No, 4 weeks from tomorrow.
4 weeks from tomorrow?
Yes, less than a calendar month. Yeah. It's four weeks from tomorrow night.
4 weeks from tomorrow, we're all going to vote. And if you have a question for Bill Whittle here, 520-9710. That's 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. When I come back, my second reason for voting for Obama and Proposition 8 when it comes to gay marriage, we'll discuss that as well. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Bill Whittle is with us, and we're live on 97.1 FM Talk. Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Bill Whittle is with us from EjectEjectEject.com. And he also wrote a book, Silent America. So if you see that out there, pick it up. If not, go to Amazon.com and buy that. He also works for Pajamas TV. And look at you, man. Also, if you like to email us, Randy gets a boner every time he gets an email from the station. He's the one that reads all the emails. So go to conwayshow@gmail.com, conwayshow@gmail.com, and get Randy a little sexually excited. Look at that. But you actually do. You said that's true, though, when you check the email, you get...
Every time I see that there's like four or five unread emails in that Conway Show Gmail... I get a nice one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope...
You might want to get yourself a Hotmail account. You'll get lots and lots and lots and lots of emails unsolicited. And some of them will really do the job for you,
yeah,
too.
I don't mind telling
you. Open
that,
some
buddy.
Of those attachments, you'll your life will change in a very, very special way.
When I read an email that says, hey, Rand, hey, Tim, I love this show,
yes,
it gets me so excited.
Oh, please. All right. Bill Whittle is with us. He knows a lot about politics. He's been studying it for years and years. He's written a book. And he'll have the answer to any question you might have.
Oh, God.
Well, at least you'll
something that sounds important.
Wendy in Hermosa Beach, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Hey, all right, baby.
I just wanted to call and say, I am Democratic in my beliefs, but until Los Angeles agrees to change the crime in Los Angeles, there will be no change. And we have to pay for it. And
that's
we have
true.
To make sure that it happens. And until we start criminalizing the cops and criminalizing the people, then that will never change. And I just want to thank you so much for sticking up for the cops one time for LAPD.
You know,
thank you.
Listen, I used to be a big fan of LAPD. And then a rogue rat who wears an LAPD badge out in the valley got me for a traffic ticket. And then he lied in court twice about it.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So other than that skunk in the West Valley, I think they're actually they do a pretty decent job. And I'm actually friends with two of the guys. One's an ex, an ex detective. He retired as a detective from LAPD. And I'm very good friends with a current lieutenant. And when I'm talking about good friends, I'm not talking about, you know, we just casually, you know, email once in a while. These two guys were at my wedding. And,
right.
You know, and they would take a bullet for me and vice versa. I mean, these are two decent guys. But, yeah, listen, the cops in Los Angeles have a hell of a job to do. You know, the L.A. Times, every time they do something bad, the L.A. Times, shoots them down. They're looking after an area that goes from Chatsworth to San Pedro, hundreds and hundreds of square miles. And they have their hands tied. You know, I saw two cops, LAPD cops, the other day, and they're in the valley, and they're, you know, sitting at a stoplight, and they're both smoking cigarettes. And I rolled down the window. I said, you know what? I said, you know, God bless you too. You know, I know you know the rules, not smoking cigarettes. You sit there in that car and smoking. God love you.
You made their day too, you know. And what the police suffer from is the same thing that that just about there's so much of our society is this is the problem with so much of our society today, and that is so many people take things for granted. And what happens is people count the hits, but they don't count the misses. And what I mean by that is, I don't know how many policemen there are. How many did you say there were in L.A. Cops?
I think there used to be 9,000. I think it's up to 11,000.
Okay, so let's say it's 11,000 guys who are out there doing their job 365 days a year. And no one counts, no one records, no one talks about, no one writes about, no one discusses the fact that every single day they go out there and do their job well. It's like
and they're all suffering through the same things we all
are. Sure they are.
You know, they have no money. Maybe they lost money in the stock market. Maybe they're getting divorced. Maybe somebody in the family died.
Of course. And the reason that people are nervous to fly is because they see pictures of jets crashing and they hear about a plane crash when it happens.
Right.
But if the news announced every single time a plane landed safely in America,
right,
they're just you'd just be a buzz. It'd be just
right.
White noise.
Yeah. All right, let's take some more phone calls here. Let's talk to Carlos in Alhambra. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey,
all
Carlos.
Right,
how are you?
I had a question for your guest. Did I understand correctly? You're basically saying that we need a Republican government in order for everything, for the world to be fixed. Is that correct?
No, I wasn't saying that at all. What I was saying was that the historical fact is that the worst cities in America have had Democratic leadership for quite a long time, but that's got nothing to do with being a
Republican. What are the worst cities?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure Detroit is up there pretty high.
And, I know Detroit, Chicago, Miami.
Yeah, it was kind of striking, but I want to go to what he's suggesting because I want to be really clear on this.
Washington, D.C.
There's nothing magical about Republicans or Democrats. You know, they're certainly not bred in separate hydroponic tanks and raised separately or anything. I think if there is a difference is that certainly what I saw when I saw how New York turned around was that it is really about a fundamental view of society, and it's a fundamental view of what the human animal is, what a person really is. And I think that in New York, they took an enforcement point of view.
Right. Right. I mean, that's what they need to do out here, though.
I would argue that they would, but it seems to be a staple of liberal thinking to think that everybody is just sort of naturally good if only people would get out of their way, and I just don't believe that's true. I would like to believe it's true.
Yeah, but what happened in Los Angeles, and again, I was born and raised here, and so I have every right, if not more right, to trash L.A. whenever I want, because I saw what it used to be back in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in Los Angeles, which is much different than almost every other city, you go to Portland, Oregon. The airport is beautiful.
It's wonderful, isn't it? It's a great airport.
And it works efficiently.
You bet.
And the subway, which is not a subway. I think it's like the red car down here. But the subway goes right into the airport. Right into the airport. Out here, it gets within a mile and a half. It goes in San Diego, their commuter system goes right into the stadium where they play baseball and right into the stadium where they play football. Here, if you go to a Dodger game and you want to take public transportation, it gets you within 2 miles or a mile and a half of Dodger Stadium. And who the Christ is going to walk from downtown Los Angeles to Dodger Stadium?
Mm-hmm.
They might have a shuttle. I don't know. But who the Christ wants to do that? Things seem to be just almost always on the brink of perfection, except they don't get close here.
Yeah, and so what causes a rampant crime rate, and how does a city go from being relatively crime free to being crime infested and then back again? What changes?
Yeah,
you know, certainly.
I mean, the graffiti has got to drive a lot of people effing crazy.
Well, when you see graffiti, you as I was saying earlier, you know you're in a neighborhood where the law is not being enforced, right? You know you're in an area where people can write on buildings at nighttime and get away with it,
and
it comes to a question of. It really comes down to a question of are you prepared to enforce the standards of civilized behavior? And that's not a term you hear often these days. I actually feel a little self-conscious even saying the word.
Yeah, they're not.
But,
they're not ready to do it.
But that's what it comes down to.
I mean, look at the kids that go to USC. And I mean, they're spending $50,000 a year to send a kid to University of Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear these stories of the rapes around the campus. Last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, there was a murder. Now there are 200 kids who are sick from some virus. There's a staph infection that went around the campus that Gina was telling us about. And if you're not willing to clean up an area like USC or around USC, where people are spending $50,000 a year to send their kids, then why would you be willing to fix up, you know, Westwood or Santa Monica or Glendale or any other part of Los Angeles? Why would they be willing to do it?
Well, you know, I cut an interview show with Bill Shatner, who's interviewing Judy Shineland, Judge Judy. And she said something that just knocked – she has a very precise – she has a very clear moral sense, that woman. And she said something I never forgot. She said, when I became a judge, I determined that I would never release somebody into the neighborhood that I wouldn't live in. In other words, I would never release somebody if I wasn't prepared to have that person living right next to me.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that just knocked me out of my chair almost, because so much of what happens in the courts and in terms of that whole leniency thing, which really was the history of the 60s and the 70s, right? That was this big experiment in leniency. And when people make those decisions, they know that those people are not going to live next to them in Brentwood. Their attitude is, well, we'll just let them back out on the streets. But the people who are really hurting are the people in the high crime neighborhoods.
Right.
Generally speaking, the people in the high crime neighborhoods are the one who want more police protection. They want more enforcement of the laws.
Right.
And less leniency in the courts.
And again, Bill Whittle is with us. Eject.com. Very smart guy. Wrote Silent America. Is involved with Pajamas TV. Now, when you have a society like, and again, LA, or a group of people who run LAUSD, and the Daily News out in the Valley did a tremendous article where they put everybody's salaries in there. And I think the administrative positions at LAUSD has gone up by 20%, even though the pupils or the amount of students has shrunk. But LAUSD is such a hellhole for the most part. There might be, you know, mm-hmm. 10 out of 100 out of 1,000 schools might be decent.
Mm-hmm.
But people are now willing to pay and have to pay $20,000 to put their kid in private school because they'd rather have their kid go through school and have a shot at a decent education than get killed at one of these LAUSD or, you know, one of these schools that drains the life and the spirit out of these kids.
I was lucky enough to go to sort of a private school. My parents worked really hard to get me to a private school, and if I had children, I would work four jobs to get them into a private school.
I would rather have my kid stay at home all day than go to LAUSD.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. And just to give you a little example from somebody who's been in both systems, because I went to private schools where I grew up in Bermuda, and my dad was a hotel manager, so it was a pretty cush life, and I'm very grateful for it. And then we moved to Miami, and so I also went to Dade County Public School System, so it was a pretty big contrast.
Yeah.
And the fundamental difference between the two school systems, clear as day, there's no question about it, was in the private school, discipline was very clear and enforced. If you stepped out of line in a private school, you would be taken up to the headmaster's office and you'd be caned.
And you don't get your money back when you get thrown out of there.
Yeah, and you do it twice and you're thrown out. You're just removed. Now, in the public schools in Miami, in Dade County, you could get away with anything. And people look at a private school like with severe discipline and they think, oh, it must be terrible. The kids are so afraid and intimidated. On the contrary, in those private schools with a firm sense of discipline, I knew what you had to do to be okay and what you didn't have
to do. Absolutely, yeah.
And I knew what the rules were, and that was great.
Street smart.
You bet. But when I got to these schools in Dade County, I was afraid to walk down the hall. You know, I didn't know if I was going to make it to math class because they did not want to enforce any discipline on the students.
It's amazing.
So, well, they say, well, we don't want to deprive this guy of his education. He's disrupting the class. He's making noises. He's calling the teacher the worst names imaginable. But we don't want to deprive him of an education, so we'll send him to timeout like he doesn't know what he's doing. So he goes to his timeout. He comes back, disrupts the class. And because we don't want to deprive him of his education, we deprive the other 39 kids in the class of their education. And this is the kind of thing I'm talking about.
That's that group mentality we were talking about earlier. You know, it's okay for you to disrupt everybody in Los Angeles for your marathon or your little run and screw everybody else. This is also something that, and I'm not sure if this is Democrats or Republicans, I'm not getting down on either side for this, but I am getting down on the person who did this. In California, we've all been told, you know, to watch our energy. Don't, you know, keep the air conditioning on low.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the lights off. You know, make sure the pool light's not. Anyway, whatever it is to save electricity, we're told to do that. And then you go over here to the Los Angeles County Museum, LACMA, over here on Fairfax and Wilshire. And one of their biggest displays out in front is old street lights.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 100 of them. All in one block, all in one, like 25 foot by 25 block, and they're all on, wasting the crap out of energy. But it's okay if they do it, but it's not okay if I keep my air conditioning on the valley.
Do as I say, not as I do. And look at Al Gore. I mean, Al Gore is running around the world in a private jet telling everybody how terrible carbon dioxide is. Now, maybe it is and maybe it isn't, but you would think, if he really believed this, that he would not have an energy bill that's 19 times the average American's. You would think, if you really believed that eating grapes was going to cause the destruction of the world, right?
You don't eat grapes,
you wouldn't just stuff yourself full of grapes on a daily basis.
But that's why this Ed Begley Jr. should be on the forefront of this global warming, and everybody would jump on board. The guy lives his life like, you know, electricity is going to evaporate tomorrow.
Well, good for him. I give him credit for walking the walk.
Right.
I think it's nuts, mind you. I think there's plenty of terrific ways that you can generate all the power you possibly want. And when people start talking about putting limits, when the government starts talking about limits on things, right, it's not a long way to go before you can expect your little beet ration, you know, coming in through the mail. I'm not saying that you have to – look, wasting energy is just stupid. It's stupid to waste anything. It costs money. It's a resource. It's just dumb, and there's no excuse for it. But if somebody wants to drive a car that gets a mile to a gallon and he's going to pay the same price for gasoline as somebody else, I mean, he has a right to do that.
Right.
And when people start saying you don't have the right to do that, you're in trouble. And the one thing I've noticed about the people who are always telling you you can't do this, they're always talking about you can't do something that I don't do anyway. So the people who say you can't have your own guns are the guys who don't shoot guns. And the guys who say you can't have your ATVs, they don't ride ATVs.
Yeah, but you know, this city and especially this state, they're driving me crazy with these laws. I mean, you know, the helmet law. I was riding my bike the other day, last week. And I'm on the bike path, and this cop, he says, I don't want to bust your balls, but, you know, your daughter should have a helmet. And I said, that is a helmet she's wearing. You know, it just looks like a hat, but underneath the hat, it was a helmet. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. And then he says, you know, you should be wearing a helmet, too. What if you crash? And I'm like, oh, man, please. I'm like, it's like, you know, my father, when I'm three, talked to me. You can't be on a cell phone in this state, even though I have proven to all of Los Angeles and all of California I'm capable of doing both. You can't be texting. I understand that. I will give them credit for that. But all these new laws to tell you what you can and cannot do. You can't smoke anywhere. You can't, you know, it really is confining. Let's talk to Drew in Irvine. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You're on the air.
Great. Bill Whittle, I'm a very big fan of yours. I just wanted to let you know that I'm tired of sucking up to anybody that's a left-wing liberals.
Good
I just
for
want
you.
Some advice on what do I do with the election year?
All right. What do you do for election?
Wow.
In California, it's not an issue, right?
In California, you pretty much can assume that your presidential vote is not going to have an influence the selection of the presidency.
Right.
But you should vote anyway, obviously, because the popular vote, you know, people make such a case out of the popular vote. You know, it reminds me after the 2000 election, they were saying, well, yeah, okay, Bush probably won the electoral vote, but he didn't win the popular vote. And well, we don't determine it by the popular vote. And it reminds me of a story of, I think it was Vince Lombardi, who basically, you know, beat the tar out of this team. And the other coach said, well, we got more first downs than you did. And Lombardi said, well, great, next time we'll play for first downs.
Right.
But as far as the rest of it goes, you know, all I can ever tell anybody or suggest to anybody do is you vote your conscience, and you don't have to go down a party line. You're an individual. The one thing I believe in more than anything, I would say my sort of overview of everything is I believe in the wisdom of large numbers of free people.
Right.
And I believe that the American people are not a bunch of sheeps and idiots. I think the American people is the largest source of wisdom on the planet. So we'll make whatever decision we make, and we'll get the consequences. But I will say this, and this is what really disturbs me. If Obama's elected, I certainly won't be angry at Obama or the Democrats. That's their guy. He wants to win. He's doing what he's doing to win. Good for him. What really does nail me, though, is the degree of bias that the media has shown in attacking Sarah. Look, they're looking up Sarah Palin's junior high school 4-H records, right? And there's 20 years of Obama's career that no one's even talking about. So in 2004 election, I think his name is Evan Thomas, he's the editor of Newsweek magazine, and he was just talking off the record to some friends, and he said he thought that the press bias, this is the editor of Newsweek who ought to know, he thought it was good for 15 points.
And is that right?
Yeah, and I'll bet Jesus it's more than Christ. That. I'll bet it's 20 now. And if you take the Electoral College map of the U.S. today, which does not favor McCain at all, and you swing it 10 points off of Obama and put 10 points
it's
on McCain, there's not a blue state on the map.
Right.
So my only concern is this. I believe in the wisdom of the American people, and if the American people decide it's time for a Democrat, I'm going to certainly accept that. But they need actual information to be able to make their decision. And if a bunch of people in a skyscraper in New York City at CBS News have determined over cocktails who the next president should be,
that's possible. And it then is, we can't do anything about it.
Well, we're in real trouble.
And you know, it may have happened with Bush over Gore. You know, who knows? But also, I mean, this is something I do that I've been doing for years, and I guess it's sort of like a corny thing. My grandfather used to do this, but he used to keep a picture of the president of the United States, no matter who it was, you know, and in his living room. And when they changed presidents, he'd put up a new picture of whoever the president was. And he always respected whoever it was. Whether he was a big Democrat,
you
my
bet.
Grandfather. And whether it was a Republican or Democrat, he put that picture up and said, that's my president. And I sort of do that, too. I had a Bill Clinton picture up there for a while, only because somebody gave me an autographed picture of Bill Clinton. And then I had a you know, a picture of George Bush that's up in my office. And if Obama becomes president, I'll put a picture of him up. You know,
good for you.
And I'd like to say that I'm gonna support Obama, and I'll make a huge effort to, because he is president, and I don't want to do, you know, 4 years or 8 years of being a hypocrite and getting down these people for calling George Bush Hitler, which they have been for 8 years, which is rather annoying. I don't want to keep, you know, and then all of a sudden flip around and call Obama Hitler. This has to end somewhere.
I completely
and if it ends
agree.
With Obama, that's great. All right, we got to take a break. Can you stay with us?
You bet.
All right, Bill Whittle is with us. He knows more about politics than you do, I bet. And if you have a question for him, 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. I promise the next hour we'll take as many calls as possible. So if, again, you're still undecided, you want to talk about an issue, maybe gay marriage, perhaps what an Obama White House will look like. If you vote for Obama, what happens?
You go, dog.
If you vote for McCain, and McCain becomes president, and something happens to McCain, then you have Sarah Palin as vice president. Or no, as president, then who's going to be vice president? I think it's Speaker of the House. And if that's true, then it's Nancy Pelosi as vice president.
Jesus Christ.
Another reason not to vote for McCain, if that's possible. All right, we'll take all of your questions. A ton of questions the next hour. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. A little politics, because it's creeping up. It's only 4 weeks from tomorrow that we all vote. And then I promise we'll talk about who has bigger cans the night after the election. This is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Bill Whittle is with us, author of Silent America. And we are live on 97.1 FM Talk.